Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Boys and girls.
It's wild, it's wacky, it's slick, it's savvy, it's the madcap Daffy, fracture, ding-a-ling, ring-a-ding, loony, zany, side-splitting, rib-tickling, slap-happy, scuzzy, dreary, irksome, tedious, banal, pointless, smutty world of...
The Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I guess maybe Jeff has his assertion that I'm an old man yelling at a cloud.
In an insane society... The same man must appear insane.
Jeff Lutz.
Some instances you were, and then, like I said, we reined you in a little bit.
And a lot of people like to believe that.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Listen to this if you can.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. The big fella in with me today, Anthony. We're expecting Wichita Bishop Carroll assistant boys basketball coach Chris Davis to join us shortly. He's running a little late. He's got a knee injury, apparently. He's 75 years old and has a knee injury. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just sitting in this sunken chair that's going to make me fall asleep.
Yeah, it's a comfortable chair, no doubt about it, but good luck getting out of it.
Yeah, you're going to help me.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Let's get right to it. Jeff is on the phone from Las Vegas. He'll see the Eagles tonight at the Sphere. He'll have game four after a scintillating Guardians win in game three yesterday against the Yankees. One of the best baseball games you'll ever see. Let's get it. What's up, Jeff?
I'm here. I am in Las Vegas. You set it all up for the people. Eagles tonight, game four tonight, Eagles tomorrow, game five tomorrow.
Where are you watching these games? In your seat at the Sphere?
I'll probably start in the hotel and then somehow get over to the Sphere. Might walk.
How you getting to the Sphere? We all want to know. How are these logistics working?
Well, we're going to go out after this appearance and see how long the walk is to the Sphere, see if we can make it in decent time. And if so, I'll do that. If it takes a little while, I'll call an Uber.
What do you mean you're going to see how long the walk is? Can't you just find out how far it is to the Sphere from where you are?
Yeah, but there's little twists and turns. There's a lot of traffic. It's hard to cross the street. The red lights take forever. So who knows when the crosswalk's going to come back around. We just want to get a little lay of the land out there in sunny Las Vegas.
Hey, Jeff. They also have a free trolley bus. I've been there, so I know it runs and shuts off around about 6-ish their time, I think. So they got that at your access in case you don't have enough for an Uber.
Yeah, I got enough for an Uber, Anthony. Let's not get crazy here.
Apparently Anthony's calling you out that you don't have enough money.
Well, not too far off. But
how'd you react to the ninth and tenth innings yesterday? I'm surprised the hotel manager didn't come and kick you out.
Well, that was my wife's thing. Like, you can't really scream in here, and I'm like, we're in Las Vegas. People all over, nobody cares what anybody else is doing. I don't think that's been kind of the vibe I've gotten. So when David Fry hit the home run, I went absolutely ballistic and tore the bedding off the bed, jumped around, screamed. My wife thought I was going to have a heart attack, but everything's great. It was a moment. It's been a postseason full of moments for the Guardians. They've had several now. I wonder how many they have left. It's exciting.
Well, I thought the Fry home run was certainly. I'm surprised the bedding survived the John Kinsey Noel home run. Why? That was the real one.
I don't know. It was the real one, but I was still, it was hard to go from absolutely despondent. I mean, it's happened before, but it's just, you know, there wasn't any hope at that point. And yes, the home run that John Kinsey Noel hit absolutely changed the game. But it was difficult for me to transition from our season is over to now there's a little something maybe going on.
Well, I don't know if I understand that or not. I don't know. I don't know if I get that. You're going to have difficulty today. You've messed both of your worlds together in a way that I'm not sure you're going to be satisfied with either. If the Guardians lose, I don't know that you'll enjoy the Eagles concert the way you should. And if the Guardians win, your devotion to that game will be so that I'm not sure you'll be able to pay attention to the Eagles concert. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we? I don't think that the Guardians winning would take anything away from the Eagles concert. That's an insane. Well,
you'll be hooked on the game. You'll be watching the game. There won't be any time to watch the Eagles.
I think he might be.
See what I'm saying, big fella?
I see what you're saying, but I think Jeff is saying mentally he can multitask.
That'd be a different Jeff.
It would. I'll have a pretty decent idea, hopefully, of how the game is going to turn out by the time the Eagles start at 8:30, which is 11:30 Eastern time. The game starts at 7, so 5 o'clock here. 8 o'clock East Coast time. It'll be 3 hours in, at least 3 hours plus. Maybe the game will be over by then. Maybe not. But I bet the victor will be somewhat apparent. Hopefully, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Have fun.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
When do you get home?
Sunday morning ish.
Sunday morning.
Yes.
So you're up. You're back on this show Monday. Is that correct?
We'll see about all that.
Well, that's get away. I'm done. Thank you. Congratulations.
Goodbye.
Have fun watching the Eagles. I'm sure we'll get a report. And appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, there you go, Jeff from Las Vegas, where lots of things are happening in the guy's life.
Yeah.
And I don't know how he's going to keep it all together.
I had a chance to go to Vegas 2 years ago. Me and wife got married and we went to Vegas.
Not a bad idea.
I'm surprised he didn't stay at the Stratosphere, though.
He actually is saying it's a pretty nice place. We looked it up yesterday. Even Doodle was impressed. So it sounds like he's doing okay.
I should have sent him with one of these drinks right here.
What is that?
It's a green drink.
Looks awful.
It tastes good.
What's in it?
Cucumber, celery, green apples.
That's just the
ginger.
That's the most vile drink I've ever heard of.
It's good for you.
Cucumbers and celery. Two things I despise. It can't taste good with those ingredients.
It has green apples and ginger in it. It's good
for you. What's the most prevailing flavor? What do you taste the most when you drink it?
I probably taste the celery the most.
That's awful.
You mean to tell me you didn't eat celery when you was growing up?
Can't stand celery. Even with peanut butter on it. And my wife, who's a picky eater, seems to like celery, which I never understood. I don't know how you could like celery.
Well, see, I put this in the juice and all the juice. You'd be surprised how much juice actually come out of those celery stalks.
Well, it's a lot of water.
And the cucumber, man, I mean, it's just flowing with liquid coming out that.
It's
good for you.
I don't
you.
Notice you drinking much of it. It's one thing to hold it over there and tell us about drinking it. There, you took a swig. Pretty healthy swig.
That wasn't a swig. That was a gulp.
You seem to like it.
I do.
Ugh.
There's actually people that listen to this show. I had a friend of mine. He's a musician friend of mine. He called me and wanted to know, hey, what about these juice drinks? I had to send him a YouTube link, like, here's a whole lot of ideas, because this is where I get mine from. And I finally got me a juicer about 3 weeks ago, so I've been juicing crazy.
Well, more power to you. I admire it. I think it's fantastic. I'm certainly not going to try celery and cucumber.
Okay, I'll make you one. Watermelon and cucumber. Tastes pretty good. The most prevalent taste.
Maybe I'll go to one of the stores and just, you know.
Why spend your money when you can get it for free?
Tiptoe in and figure it out. I don't know what I'm going to do. 869-1240, here's what we have for you on the show today. And we have a first-time guest as part of the festivities. We'll be talking with former K-State offensive lineman Brian Hanley. He's part of the Big 12 Insiders Network. And we'll talk to him about the Big 12. K-State with a very interesting game coming up on Saturday in Morgantown against West Virginia. It's always, for whatever reason, it's always a roll of the dice to go to West Virginia and play. And yesterday on the show when we made our picks, four of us picked Kansas State to cover the spread. They're a 2.5-point favorite. Due to pick West Virginia. So we'll see. You and I and Jeff were pretty confident in K-State.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I mean, K-State went to Colorado last year. Higher altitude, hostile environment.
Won by three.
Competitive game, and found a way to win that game. So now they're playing on level playing ground. They might be below sea level. I don't know.
West Virginia's got some
hills
high
and
terrain.
Valleys. Yeah. I believe they can handle that. I mean, I think this team is equipped to handle that.
I hope you're right. I mean, I picked them, same as you did.
Yeah, I picked them.
But I don't know. Something about playing at West Virginia is weird.
Well, West Virginia, they kind of remind me before Oklahoma State really, I don't know if you want to say really got good. Well, yeah, before they really got good, they used to be one of those teams that every year they found a way to beat somebody that they weren't supposed to beat. And West Virginia, even though they've had some level of success, it hasn't been consistent, but they find a way to beat someone that you least expect them to beat.
Right.
It's just that this weekend won't be Kansas State.
There you go.
Because Kansas State had their bad loss when they went out to Provo.
I think K-State will.
So
I think K-State will win the game by, hopefully, a field goal or more. So if that happens, I've gotten that one right, and I'll feel good about it.
Yep, I did my FanDuel picks.
So we'll talk with Brian Hanley coming up at 2:25, and then later in the show today at 3:25, Joanna Chadwick joins us from Vibe Magazine.
My favorite.
We'll talk about high school football, what the schedule looks like tonight with Joanna as we enter week 7. Already week 7. It
Man.
Seems like yesterday they were playing the season openers.
Right, and now it's like the season's like fly by. It's like just –
crazy.
Crazy how fast the season goes.
Once you get into this time of year, it just seems like, I guess, all times of year. When you're my age, there's no slowing it down.
Right. And you know, I want to give some shout-outs. You mentioned Joanna Chadwick. I want to shout out her husband, Coach Chadwick, the girls' basketball coach, also Coach Joe Jackson, because last year they invited me to basketball games, and that basically just got me more interested in going to not just waiting for basketball season. I went to a couple of football games this season, and the atmospheres I've experienced. I mean,
who'd you go see?
First game of season, I went to see May South. I went to Derby. I should have went there when school was out because I had to walk about 2 miles to get to the stadium.
It's crazy
that
down in Derby.
That atmosphere is like Friday Night Lights in Texas. And then the last game I went to was Andover Central, the game that they lost against Goddard. Didn't see that one coming. They was ranked number one.
That's a big win for Goddard.
That was a big win for Goddard. So
yeah, I haven't been to a game at Derby in quite some time.
So next
game, even though it's my alma mater,
I could go tonight, but I think wife has something planned, so I'm gonna pencil.
Well, tonight the game to go to is Mound Ridge Sedgwick.
Yeah, I probably won't be going to that one, but I do have next week's game circled on my calendar, even though they took a loss against their in town rival. May South versus Derby ought to still be a good game.
No, it won't. That will not be a good game.
I believe it'd be a good game.
By good, what's your definition of good?
I'm like this. I believe May South have learned from that game that they played against Mays that they lost. I believe it to be one of the most competitive games that Derby has played this year.
That's not saying a whole lot. They haven't had a competitive game.
Exactly.
But give me a score. Let's go. Just get your cucumber juice away and give me a score of that game.
Give you a score of that game.
And then I'll give you my score. And this is not intended to be disrespectful of May South and Coach Pfeiffer. They've done a fantastic job. This is a generational team at Derby.
It is. And I've seen that Derby team. Brain, whatever his name is, that tight end, man, he is on a different level. But I'm going to say it like this. I believe that will be, when I say the most competitive game Derby will play, it's going to at least be like 42-28.
Let me write that down. 42-28. This game's in Derby, by the way.
In Derby. You know what? I believe that May South, their fan base is going to travel. That game is going to be one. You will have to be there before school is out. Not wait to you're going to have to be there at, like, during gym hour, second hour.
May South just – and again, May South is obviously a very good football team.
I mean
– And I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but they just gave up 55 to Mays last week.
No one's seen that coming.
No one saw it coming, but it happened.
But it's any given Friday. It's just like any given Sunday.
Okay. You say 42-28.
Yeah.
I say 57-14.
You done lost your mind.
Oh, really? Get back to me.
I believe that Coach Pfeiffer is going to have those guys ready. Like I say, they might come up short, but my score prediction is 42-28.
I wrote it down. Oh, trust me, I wrote it down.
You know what we ought to do? We ought to make that the bonus picks on the
– We'll do that. We'll put our own line on
it. Put our own line on it.
And if I had to put a line on that game, I'd say 28.5.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that somebody might be listening. That's going to get back. That's going to be – you're giving them bulletin board material.
I am more than happy to provide bulletin board material, but I also speak – what I believe.
And I'm pretty sure that Coach Clark, he would like a competitive game to make sure his guys are battle-tested going into playoffs.
There's nothing that I disagree with you about what you're saying. He'll have them ready to play. They're a good team. He'll have a bulletin board. Whatever it is, I agree with you. 57-14.
57.
There you go. You got 42-28.
This is the first time me and Bob have gone at it like Jeff and Bob.
Yeah, kind of fun, isn't it?
It's kind of fun.
people love going at it with me. And they know that they may be right. You may win this thing.
You know, I'm always right.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how much money you got. I don't know what kind of car you drive. Or what kind of house you live in.
I drive a Mazda.
Or if you have a boat. But I've done some gambling in my life, not very much. And when it's a house, car, boat type of game, that's the ultimate vote of confidence, right?
So you're willing to let me have your car in a bet, right?
House, car, and boat.
No.
I don't know if you have a boat.
I don't have no boat.
I don't.
I feel like this. If God wanted me to be on water, he would have made me a fish of some type.
That's a good point. Anyway, that game's not till next week, so we'll ask Joanna about it. Now, she's diplomatic, even though she's works at Derby,
right?
As a journalism instructor, she's more diplomatic. I try to be diplomatic, but I call them like I see them.
I'm pretty sure she's approaching that game with guarded optimism.
No, I don't think it's going to be that guarded. This is Derby, man.
I know this is Derby. This is Powerhouse Derby. They got that chip on their shoulder from last year. They're on a mission. They want to bring that state trophy back to Derby. I get all that. And you know what? They still going to bring that trophy back. But this is going to be their most competitive game that they played this year.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Like I say, 42-28.
42-28. I got it at 57-14.
I believe so.
We'll ask Joanna when we have her on, and that'll be shortly, about an hour from now. We'll take a break now and come back and talk Big 12 football, K-State football. Former K-State lineman Brian Hanley, who spent a lot of his career protecting Michael Bishop up at K-State.
Wow.
He'll join the show next. Bob, the big fella, we expect Chris Davis to arrive shortly. This is the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
This is Brian Hanley who joins us. First time we've had the pleasure. Brian, welcome. We're going to talk some football. You're part of the Big 12 Insiders Network. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me.
You bet. So we got the Big 12, as I say on this show quite often, intrigues the heck out of me. I know it's not the SEC. I know it's not the Big 10. Maybe it gets a little lesser play nationally now, but the parity in this league this year is off the charts. What do you expect to happen Saturday? Do you expect things to clear up a little bit?
You know, this week happens to be one of those weeks where, you know, the matchups aren't crazy, you know, like upsets. And usually when that's the case, usually a lot of upsets happen. So I expect something weird to happen this weekend. Again, this conference is just, it's just crazy, man. It just is.
Yes, sir. This is the big fella, as they call me. And you're the Big 12 insider. Did you see BYU actually having the type of year that they're having this year? I mean, I know they're pretty much a brand name. I mean, you say BYU, you just think of some of the players of the past. And looking at the whole Big 12, did you see BYU having this type of season? And how much luster is going to be lost when K-State plays against KU because so much expectations was heaped upon KU? So two questions in one.
Sure. The first one, no. I don't think anybody saw BYU having this kind of season. I thought it was possible, but you didn't think it was likely. Just for the simple fact, you know, a lot of BYU, their coaches, their players, they talked about how last year they didn't know how physical the conference was, and they didn't match up physically to what the Big 12 required. So usually when that happens, it takes a little while for that to kick in. Now, there's still a lot of football left, but I don't think there's anybody who thought that BYU would be right where it is currently. But congrats and hats off to them. The second question, as far as the luster of the game, yeah, because it's going to take a hit. People thought Kansas was going to be good, and they should be good. I mean, they brought back all of this talent. The coaching staff is supposed to be, you know, top-notch. Everybody talks about it, but, you know, there's no reason for Kansas not to be good right now. There's literally no reason for it. Can't explain it, can't finish games. That's basically what it's coming down to. Haven't got a great quarterback play. The play calling hasn't been good, but it's just, yes, it is definitely going to take a hit because I think a lot of people in the state thought that when these two teams played, they'd both be ranked, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Brian Hanley is our guest, former K-State lineman, part of the Big 12 Insiders Network as a host, works a lot very closely with Tim Fitzgerald, our friend from GoPowerCat.com. Let's talk about K-State. They went out to Provo and got thumped, and I think we all said at that time, is this thing really as good as we think it might be or could be? Since then, they've looked more like themselves. But they have a very tricky game Saturday in Morgantown against West Virginia. You can speak to it. You know the difficulty of going to West Virginia. Tell us about that game and what you expect.
I expect it to be another tough game for Kansas State. Going on the road is never easy, especially in this conference. So I expect the game to be nip and tuck. I think K-State wins. But because there's a lot of stuff going on in West Virginia right now with some of the comments that their coach has made this week, which is unbelievable. But I just think, look, Kansas State hasn't been great on the road. They won last week in Colorado, but I would say that that wasn't a great football game that Kansas State played. They were able to win, but defensively it wasn't great. Now, they were playing against a great quarterback, but they haven't played great on the road, so they're going to have to, again, find another way to win on the road because it's just it's tough in the Big 12, man, to go win on the road.
So back to this West Virginia team, because I had a chance to peep them out last week as they were playing against Iowa State. So The next question is, which version of West Virginia are we going to get? Are we going to get the one that played against Iowa State last week that gave them all they could until they just ran out of gas? Or what can we expect? Because they seem very unpredictable.
Well, first off, last week, I don't know that they gave them all they could because that game wasn't near as close as the final score indicated. West Virginia has been up and down all year. They're probably kicking themselves because they gave away a game against Pitt. They were up by 11 points with 5 minutes, or 10 points with 5 minutes to go, and end up losing. But they've been so up and down. We just don't know how good West Virginia actually is. And here's what I say that is because last year they got helped a lot by their schedule. And this year, you know, that schedule has gotten a lot more difficult, and they're not winning these games. So I still don't know how good West Virginia is. I think they're going to fight because they're at home. But, again, based on what their coach said this week, they get down by 10 points, they may cash it in. Who knows?
Brian Hanley with us, Big 12 Insider. Getting back to the Big 12 and how interesting it is, because it's, again, I'm just enthralled by it. Here you have Kansas, Oklahoma State, Utah, UCF, and Arizona. They're combined 3-13 in the conference. They were all expected to be contenders. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised anybody for those teams to be contenders. Meanwhile, you have Colorado, Cincinnati, Arizona State, Texas Tech, Iowa State, who are a combined, do the math, they're very good. It's almost like you've just taken it and turned it upside down in some ways.
100%. Absolutely. Look, Iowa State, I think everybody kind of thought would be pretty good. I don't know if they thought they'd be this good, but everybody thought they'd be good. Everybody else? It's the exact opposite. You're exactly right. Kansas, UCF, a lot of people thought UCF was going to be good, myself included. But they missed on the quarterback. And, you know, I talked yesterday to UC Chad Brindle, who covers Cincinnati for 24/7 Sports, and I just talked to him, and he's like, they hit on their quarterback, and that's why they're better. And that would be the difference in a lot of cases. It's like, look, college football, if you get a quarterback that can play a little bit, you can win some games. If you got one that struggles, you're going to struggle. And if you look at the teams that have struggled, those quarterbacks have struggled.
All right. This is good stuff. We may get you back on this show, my man. You're pretty good at this.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'd love to come back.
I do. Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about your career at K-State, playing for Bill Snyder. Part of an incredible run, an incredible group of teams, and you were on that offensive line as Michael Bishop's left guard. I happen to think Michael Bishop is one of the best college football players I ever saw. Tell us about that time and playing with Michael, and does he get the respect and admiration that he deserves, in your opinion?
You know, I think he gets the respect from Kansas State fans. I think that. I mean, he just went into the College Football Hall of Fame, so more people are giving him the respect around the country now. But I don't think he gets it because, look, the start of the Wildcat offense was Michael Bishop. And people don't necessarily want to give him credit for that. But my whole thing is, why do you think it's called the Wildcat offense? Like, that he started that. Him and Coach Snyder, that's what they started. So can he get more credit? I guess, but he's in the Hall of Fame. It's hard to get more credit anywhere than
point.
Being in the Hall of Fame.
I guess my point was, that, like, if you ask the average college football fan to name the 25 best college football players of the last 40 years, I don't know how many would name Michael Bishop. I would.
Correct.
I think you probably would. That's kind of where I was going with that. I think the people in the Hall of Fame level, yeah, they probably get it. But I don't know that the average college football fan who likes to watch games every Saturday and has been doing that for a long time would come up with his name.
They probably wouldn't. College football is so regionalized. And, you know, based on where you live and the team that you follow, you know, it's based on regions. And so you get somebody out west that they're 35. They could be 35 years old. They probably don't even know Michael Bishop's name, much less know that how good he was of a football player. So that's kind of where the difference is. And the demographics and the age, you know, you got to remember, and this always surprises me. I'm like, man, that was almost 30 years ago when that happened. And I'm like, man, I'm that old now. So it's one of those things. So I don't think it's just weird. Don't get me wrong. I think he gets his due, but you're right. His name wouldn't come up. But I think it's more because of a demographic thing and a regionality thing is that the reason why. But if you ask people in the Big 12 that are around the Big 12, his name would absolutely come up.
One more question before we let you go. Brian Hanley with us from Big 12 Insider, Big 12 Insider Network. Mike Gundy, Oklahoma State. Obviously, they've had some injury issues, but they've vastly underachieved. Based on what we thought would be going on with them. They're at BYU on Saturday, so they got a pretty good shot at falling to 0-4 in the Big 12. Is this guy in any trouble at all?
No, he's not in any trouble. Gundy can probably coach. Not probably. He can coach there until he wants to quit. They were in the Big 12 title game a year ago. Look, they're struggling, and again, they missed on the quarterback. Last year, their quarterback was fine. This year, I mean, but it was kind of fool's gold. Well, Alan Bowman's not that good of a quarterback. He's just not. I mean, and everybody knows that. It's not me. I'm not breaking news here or anything like that. He's not. And they're not playing well because of that. They can't run the football. But they'll be back. I mean, Mike Gundy's too good of a coach for him to just say, okay, we're not good this year. I'm just going to – it is what it is. They'll figure it out. Heck, don't be surprised if after this bye week tonight that Oklahoma State doesn't give BYU all they ask for, because the talent is there. Sometimes you just need a reboot, and the bye week may have been that. So don't be surprised if you don't see a different type of Oklahoma State team. Now, I'm not counting on that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they're even going to win, but just don't be shocked to see a different Oklahoma State team.
Dude, I'd be shocked. I've got to tell you. I'm sorry, but there's where we have our first disagreement. But it's okay, because we loved having you on talking about the Big 12. We appreciate your insight, and we'll do it again, okay?
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Brian Hanley, Big 12 Insider Network. That was fun. Yeah. We all picked BYU yesterday. They're giving 9.5 points. And we all picked them for much, much confidence. So I don't agree with, but I don't know. I don't think Oklahoma State can go there and make that a good game. I don't see it. Do you?
I don't, but then again, Gundy is still the coach.
My son can't stand Gundy. Thinks he's the most overrated coach in the world. And he has a point, because
he's still a man.
They're pretty good, but they never really –
consistency.
They never really do a whole lot. They're always pretty good, but they're never really great.
Well, I give them this much credit. They beat OU in the first time they beat them. And when I say first time, I'm talking about here recently. Lincoln Riley had enough, and he went to USC. And then the next time they beat them, that was their exit to the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
But, you know, Brian Hanley, you know, not to cut you off, he brought up some valid points, especially when he was talking about KU. He said play calling. How much does KU actually miss their offensive coordinator from a year
Great
ago?
Great question.
Who's now the offensive coordinator at Penn State?
Penn State's number three in the country.
Because one of the things they say that's very important is continuity on the coaching staff. Well, that link was broken when you lose your offensive coordinator. So how much of a difference does that make? Because right now, play Colin is the question.
Obviously, seems like it's making some difference. All right, we've come to the time for a break. When we come back, the big fella Anthony is with me today. Apparently, no Chris Davis.
Man,
the guy said he injured his knee, Was going to go to the doctor. Said, I'll be there plenty of time.
Did you go to the doctor today?
He went to the doctor, and he can't get away from the doctor.
Yeah, so, it's the doctor's fault.
And you know that, and that's why I called you. I mean, you're right here. I knew you'd be here.
Yeah, I just hate coming down 21st Street.
That's terrible. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about a lot. The IHOP Hotline brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House Faves. All your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. It's yours truly and the big fella here on the show. You mentioned driving down 21st. Getting west to east and vice versa is a little bit difficult at the moment. Now, I applaud the improvements they're making on 21st.
Yeah.
But the process is painful.
Very painful.
And then 13th Street, depending on the time of day, but usually 13th Street is a nightmare. Not because of trains, but just because everybody who's not using 21st right now has hopped over to 13th.
Yeah, I'd be glad.
And one of the worst intersections in this community is 13th and Mosley, where Cargill is. And those trucks are pulling in there night and day.
Goodness, man.
And on both sides. And it's just, it's almost impossible.
You know, they came out with that movie called Nightmare on Elm Street. No, this is Nightmare on 13th and Mosley. With them.
You know what I'm talking about.
Man.
It's backed up there forever. And they've got that down to one lane now if you're eastbound on 13th. I hope not very much longer, but it's getting over to our building in the mornings. I don't feel like I have a real route to get there. It's been 13th Street, but now it's really hard to get by. Am I whining?
Well, see what you can do. I got you talking about get to your building over there by the ball field, right? By League 42.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, you have an alternative. See, to avoid the construction on 21st Street, you can actually, like, when you leave out here, turn down there where that burger stop is across from that car wash. Make a
huh?
right. Turn down there by where Wendy's is at. Make that right turn, then make your way to 17th Street, and then just come on in.
17th Street is always blocked by a train.
Yes,
it's just like 21st Street.
Yeah, with 21st Street, you got construction and a train problem.
It's not none of it's ideal.
I'll take my chances on going up 17th Street, depending on what time of day it is.
Yeah.
To avoid 13th Street congestion, to avoid construction zone and train, I would take my chance. Now, if you happen to run into a train, then, yeah, you got to detour, go to 13th Street and hope traffic getting backed up over there. But it's like, pick your poison. Pick your driving poison.
It's not easy, but hey, we make do.
I mean, I missed four lights between in that construction. I'm like, why would I come this way?
Now, yesterday on the show, we'll talk baseball in a minute. Did you watch baseball last night?
I didn't get to watch. I heard about it. You know, I worked that graveyard shift.
So. You're working that graveyard shift. Anyway, the Guardians and the Yankees game was as good a postseason baseball game as you'll ever see. Drama on the edge of your seat. Just to put it in perspective, the Guardians are down going to the ninth inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
By one. The leadoff hitter, Jose Ramirez, reaches base.
Mm-hmm.
Ball gets by Anthony Rizzo. Could have made the play, didn't make it. Gets on base. And the next batter, Josh Naylor, hits a ball back to the pitcher who turns it into a double play. So there's two outs, nobody on. Ninth inning. Looks pretty bleak for the Guardians. Mm-hmm. Lane Thomas doubles off the left center field wall. And John Kinsey Noel, on the first pitch, cranks a long home run to left field to tie the game. It's actually a two-run deficit for the Guardians. Sends it to extra innings. Guardians get the Yankees out in the top of the 10th. There's no ghost runner in postseason baseball.
Okay.
We're playing it straight up.
Good.
And in the bottom of the 10th, you get a runner on in front of David Fry, who hits the big two-run home run to win it. And now we've got game four tonight in Cleveland, and I can't wait to watch it. That was a phenomenal baseball game. And I know the ratings were higher for the dog of a game they gave us on Thursday Night Football. This is such a football culture. Baseball, postseason baseball, so much better than any regular season football game anyone could give you, people.
That game last night, they should put that on, like, maybe ESPN Plus, maybe. I mean, well, it was on Amazon Prime, but
the Saints are so banged up; they weren't competitive. What their promising start has gone up in flames. They're no good. Denver's not really good, but they were much better than the Saints last night.
Right.
I didn't watch a second of it. I'm a baseball guy, and for you people who just, well, it's football, I'm gonna watch football. Come on.
You know what?
Watching You're not that, that kind of guy, are you?
Well, I'll say it like this. Watching that game last night reminded me of what Richard Sherman said.
You watched it?
Well, I kind of had no
You just trouble. Told me you couldn't watch baseball because of the graveyard
Well, that's because I don't have the streaming device to be able to watch the baseball game like I want to. See, my phone capabilities has limited, you know.
This is all kinds of an excuse.
No. If I was at home, maybe, you know, if it was streaming on one of the platforms, I could have watched it, but I don't have no means. So I was stuck with watching, as Richard Sherman would say, when they asked him about Thursday Night Football, that game last night, poop fest.
I mean, it's just, you can't come up with a regular season game that would be, now listen, the Dodgers, Mets, the Dodgers are running away with it right now. I don't know how the Mets stem this tide. Last night, Mookie Betts was phenomenal. They're up 3-1. I fully expect that series to be over. But that Guardians-Yankees series is pretty interesting. I know the Yankees are the behemoths.
Right. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I've heard of the four teams. All right, so I heard a guy. I'm not going to give too much credit, but they was talking about the game. And he said the only team he could halfway tolerate is the Guardians. He said because the other three teams he can't stand, and he referred to them as the New York Yankees, the New York Mets, and the New York West, referring to the L.A. Dodgers.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. L.A. is kind of a big city itself, you know?
Right, but he referred to the L.A. Dodgers as New York West. I guess what he's saying is the New York Yankees, they spend all this money. The L.A. Dodgers, they spend all this money. And basically everything he was saying in a nutshell, the media probably want to see either a Subway Series or they want to see
Yeah, I don't Dodgers, know about the media. I think the
Dodgers versus the Yankees.
I mean, you can't listen. I'm a baseball fan; have been my entire life. I get it that some teams spend more than others.
Right.
There's no salary cap in baseball. I understand that.
Right. But at the end of the day,
there's ways of working around that in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of smaller market teams have success in baseball.
Right. I mean, the Royals has some success.
Cleveland.
Cleveland's having
look
success.
Look at Cleveland. Look at Detroit.
Right.
You can make it work as a smaller market team in baseball. But if we get a Dodgers-Yankees World Series, that'll be fantastic. I mean, I'll watch that all day long. You've got two of the biggest superstars in the history of the game in Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, man.
Head-to-head.
That is must-see TV.
If that happens.
If it happens.
If it's the Guardians-Dodgers, that'll be a letdown to a lot of people, but not to me. It'll be a true matchup, another matchup of David versus Goliath. Cleveland will have already slain one of the Goliaths in the Yankees.
Let me put you on the spot, because I hear this kind of talk going back and forth since we're on this. Is there any truth to what I would say is this myth? Are these games rigged? Are these games set up? Do officials have a hand in these games? Because I'm starting to hear this. I'm hearing people say the NFL is rigged. The NBA is rigged. I mean,
It doesn't
don't help. Believe. Let me tell you something right now, okay? Anytime you hear anything that's associated with a conspiracy theory, eliminate it. Stop thinking about it.
Okay, I just want to put that out there because...
Don't put it out there. I'm telling you right now, nothing gets me more fired up than, hey, are they trying to fix these games? Are they? Come on. Come on. Can you imagine the fallout if that were to ever happen?
Tim Donahue.
Okay, and what was the fallout?
He
was gone.
It was a prison time.
Right. That's a pretty strong deterrent, right?
Yeah. Should be.
Going to prison?
Right. That should be a strong deterrent,
yeah,
going to prison.
It is a strong deterrent. Not that I've ever been. All right, time for a break. We've made it through an hour. Got the big fella here with you, as well as yours truly, Bob Lutz. Joanna Chadwick will join us in hour number two. We'll talk high school football week 7 on the docket tonight. A beautiful night. Feels like football weather finally. After 6 weeks of heat, we're finally into fall. Back in a minute.
Please hang on. Please. This is an official interruption of your local entertainment transmission.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Past, present, future, long-term future, into the realm future, before birth, past.
I don't know what that is, man. Hey, cuckoo, baby, don't tell me.
Jeff Lutz.
Go to a therapist, just so you won't doubt me anymore.
Now get out of here, or I'll have my legs broken.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It is going to be in... Wait for it. Incredible.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show. The big fella Anthony with me today, Bob Lutz. On Monday, Jeff, we expect to be back. We'll see. He's in Las Vegas for the weekend where he'll watch the Guardians play with much interest, and also we'll be seeing our favorite band, the Eagles, tonight and tomorrow night at the Sphere. Now, I'm a little bit envious of this one, okay? He's seeing the Eagles in a place where I may never see the Eagles. I'm not sure I'm going to make it to Vegas to see the Eagles. Everything in my house right now is falling apart, and I'm going to have to pay for the improvements. Not really. I'm doing a lot of this on my own, but found out today we have some drainage issues, some shower issues that needs to be replaced. Just things that add up as a homeowner, and you just can't prepare for all of them. You know what I mean?
I think that Jeff has prepared you well because there's usually a lot of drainage on radio.
I
just wanted to lighten your mood a little bit.
Thank you. I'm the kind of guy that doesn't really want my mood lightened. Oh, I like to have a heavy mood.
You like to have a heavy mood. But you shouldn't be envious of Jeff. I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't be envious. All right, you're talking about you don't know if you'll ever get to see the Eagles in Las Vegas. But think about all the places throughout your life that you have gone that Jeff may never get to see too.
Well, but he's catching me. He saw him at Madison Square Garden. I never wanted him to do that because that's one of mine. Now, he'll have Las Vegas on me, but I did see the Eagles in Dublin, Ireland, and I don't think he'll ever get that.
I don't
think
he'll ever get there. So, see, just...
We'll always have that, right?
Right. So, like I said, there have been places that you have gone, things you have seen, roads that you have gone down.
But he's got a lot of time left to get there.
Yeah, the question is, will he get there? He may never get there.
Vegas is a good one for him. I got to admit it. I that's a good one, especially at this venue, because what I've seen online about it and some of the YouTube clips that the Eagles don't like, by the way. They don't like it when people put up clips, so they get them down when they can. But that venue with... You know, the circular nature of it and the video screen that basically covers the entire roof and sides of the building. And it just looks incredible. And I expect him tonight. Now, that concert will start at roughly 10:30 p.m. my time.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be getting any updates tonight. but I expect tomorrow he'll send a message that says, this was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I'll have to say to him, dang it. I don't want him to have that on me. You know what I'm saying? What's the band that you would go to great lengths to see? Is there a band you've seen multiple times, big fella?
I've seen solo artists.
Okay, who have you seen multiple times?
Well, one of them, he's resting in peace. If David Sanborn was living, I would go see him.
You know, David Sanborn collaborated with the Eagles. Are you aware of that?
He has collaborated with numerous.
He has.
His horn sound was very distinct. As a matter of fact, back in the days when our church group was traveling, we went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the young lady spotted me out. She's like, have you ever heard of David Sanborn? I'm like, yes, I have. She said, I thought so. She said, you kind of sound like him. But that's what I'd patterned my style after. I wanted to be like David Sanborn. Since then, there's been others come along, and I'm like, I never wanted to be like Kenny G, though.
How good are you on this saxophone?
I usually let people do the talking, but based on the people, they say I'm pretty good. So
Do you play in a group anywhere? Do you?
I still mainly play church engagements. I mean, I have played some weddings, but yeah, church has been my thing all my life. Matter of fact, my saxophone about got me in trouble when I was a kid with my
mom. Uh-oh.
Yeah, because I wanted to play. We had piano player, organ player, guitar player, drummers, and I could play drums too, but the drummer we had, he pretty much had it on lock, so I wanted to play my saxophone. And mama was always against the idea. Daddy, he was the pastor. So, you know, back in those days, you know, if one parent say, no, you better not go ask the other. Well, this is the one time I took that chance. So,
wow.
This was on the Monday we was at rehearsal, and mama was a stickler for being on time. She's like, get on, come on, get out the car. We got to get in there. We the first ones there. You know, I seen someone pull up. I said, here, do me a favor. Take this in the back door and put it up in the choir stand on the back row.
Hmm.
So now we're going through roll call. We got to give our Bible verses. We put our dues in, and I'm going up there in the choir stand. The music started playing. The choir started saying, all of a sudden, mama hears this saxophone playing. She looks around that corner as if looks could kill. And I'm like, okay, I got to ride home with mama. I wonder how this trip is going to be. First question, who told you could? Daddy said I could play. And I've been playing ever since.
Wow.
This is back in junior high.
Well, that's good. So have you ever been in a band?
I can't say, no, I haven't been in a band. I played with other great musicians here in the city. One of them, the late Barry Harris, blues guitar player. You might have heard him.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Wichita Northwest and West High.
Were you not in the band?
I was in the jazz ensemble.
Okay.
And it was unique because the band director at Northwest, his name was Burl. I'm not going to give his last name. Rest in peace. He had his picks and favorite who was going to play the solos. Well, I wasn't one of them. Plus, they was reading solos. In other words, they weren't creative.
Mm-hmm.
I goes to West High, and the band director there, his name was Brian. We called him BH. He gave me solo. I'm playing baritone sax now. First time ever played baritone sax. And he was like, gave me a solo. I started reading the solo. He stopped the, oh, stop. I'm like, well, did I do something wrong? I'm playing it. Nope. He said, over here, we don't read solos. Play it like you feel it.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Gave you some creativity.
Gave me some creativity. And we were one of the best high school jazz ensembles that year. As a matter of fact, they would have jazz around at Northwest in the Commons area. And they was going to pick two bands that played for the Wichita River Festival. This was back in 1986. Well, I got a chance to go back to my old stomping grounds. And the two bands that they picked, I can tell you who one of them wasn't. One of them was the Northwest. And my old director came up to me and said, well, my goodness, I didn't know you had it in you. I said, it's been there all the time. I said, but.
You got to foster it. You got to cultivate it. You got to let me.
Right. You had your picks.
Turn me loose a little bit.
I said, another thing is, stop reading solos. Let them be creative.
Well, there you go. Now, are you a singer at all?
No, I don't sing. I probably could if I put, but I grew up around singers. I wanted to be a musician, so I let the singer sing and I play.
Good for you. I started in on the saxophone when I was in grade school, but I didn't stick with it.
You should have stuck with it.
I should have stuck with it, but nobody did in those days.
We could be doing saxophone duets on the radio.
We could be doing that, and it'd be on my part, nobody. You'd have to cover your ears.
If you would have stuck with it,
maybe. I'm more upset with myself that I didn't get into choir or things like that. And here's the problem. We don't have an appreciation for things as young people that we later have. Like, there were still plenty of kids in the choir and musically oriented, but I was always musically oriented. But I felt like because I was kind of a jock, an athlete,
mm-hmm.
to some degree, not any great shakes, but that's more where my brain was. I felt like, I'm an athlete. I'm running with the guys in the letter jackets. I'm not going to go do that singing or playing thing. You know what I'm saying?
So you should have.
There's kind of two camps. And knowing what I know now, I would have said, hey, I can do both. I want to be a singer, man. I'm going to go be in the choir. Why didn't I do that?
You wanted to be a jock.
What a joke.
You wanted to be like...
I was a joke of a jock.
You wanted to be like that guy that I hear on the radio in the mornings on the show, be filling in sometimes. You wanted to be like the savage one.
Oh, God.
He's so proud of his Baylor University.
To say that I wanted anything to be anything, that might be the worst insult you've ever handed out. I don't know that I'll ever get over that.
I'll take it back.
Thank you.
I take it back.
My goodness.
Nobody could be him. Nobody could be. I thought about getting him on my podcast, but I just thought about something. I'd probably never get a word in.
Yeah, you might not. What'd you think of Tony Bennett stepping down at Virginia as their basketball coach 2 weeks before the season opens? And he had his news conference today, and he said, this world of college athletics just isn't for me. And I can't do it anymore. I went on a hiatus this summer with my family. I'd had a lot of time to think about things. I've just decided that I don't want to do this. It's not about coaching and teaching anymore. And that's my fear for college athletics. I think ultimately you'll see more and more coaches decide to take this route. Now, there'll be others that want to replace them, but I also believe that the salaries paid to coaches is going to start to plateau or come down. There cannot be, Anthony, an endless supply of funding for this stuff. It's not the way it's designed to be. I'm not saying that we don't compensate athletes to some degree, but it's not designed to be this mad rush for every penny you can get. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Here's what I say. I would say everything is about timing. And if he went on this hiatus, during the summer and had time to think about it, then I think he also had ample time to step down before he did, instead of waiting 2 weeks before the season.
But in his defense there, he wants his guy to be named the coach. And Virginia kind of has to say, okay, we'll give his top assistant this opportunity because we don't really have time to go find anyone else.
It's kind of a two-edged sword.
It's a little manipulative, but I understand it.
I mean, it's kind of a two-edged sword. You look at timing of it. Why'd he wait till 2 weeks? But at the same time, I get it. I mean, you already got the recruits there. I mean, if he would have did during the summer, then who knows, maybe the portal would open up and some guys would have been mass exodus. So I get that part too, but still.
Also, he recruited these players, and I don't have the name in front of me, but the guy who I would expect to be named the interim coach has been on his staff and has a relationship with these players. So probably won't see the exodus of players that you might have seen had he announced this a month and a half or 2 months ago. Because then you might have had more players leave. I don't know. But I'm just telling you right now, this is not shocking to me. We've seen it with other coaches. I think we'll continue to see it. I don't think it's nearly as rewarding to coach in college athletics now as it once was. And I think that realization, despite the very good money that coaches can make, I think we'll see other coaches do exactly this.
Who now? Who's the coach at UConn? Is it? I know it's one of them Hurley brothers.
Yeah,
is it Dan?
It's Danny Hurley.
So
he could have gone to the Lakers. He decided to stay in UConn.
Right. Well, who wants to go to the Lakers and be under the general managership of LeBron James anyway? I wouldn't have taken that job. I knew that was the joke anyway. But what I was going to say to him, you know, looking at Tony Bennett and looking at Dan Hurley, Dan has the blueprint, it seems, for navigating through transfer portal and NIL, because I have yet, not to say that it hasn't happened, but I have yet to hear of anybody with a big NIL deal at UConn like we heard of the kid that's going to K-State. We know there's a transfer portal, but it seemed like Hurley, I mean, who would have thought back-to-back NCAA championships? So it seemed like he has a blueprint for
maybe there is a blueprint. I don't know that he has one.
Which is why I'm excited for even Wichita State this year, because we had, like, what, seven players return. That are your core players. Yes, we lost Kobe Rogers. Hated that, because that's 2 years in a row somebody that went to Memphis from our team and we got to face them. But we had a good core players return for Wichita State. So
maybe,
like, maybe Mills has a good.
He may have a good. I'm eager to see what product they put on the floor. I think some of these players that are coming back can be helpful. I think if the transfers are everything that Shocker fans hope they are, I think some of these returning players will see their roles diminish. The goal is to be better than last year, right?
Well, there's one guy, I'm telling you right now, he has NBA written all over him. All he has to do is average 13 points, 10 rebounds a game. He's the guy in
Quincy
the middle.
Ballard is what
Quincy
you said.
Ballard.
We'll see if he can.
He's going to be a second-round draft pick in the NBA.
You think so?
Let me write that down. Write that down.
I'm running out of room to write down your predictions. You're sounding more and more like Jeff every time we get you here.
No, I think I sound better than Jeff, and he's probably streaming this on the Odyssey app. So he's going to call back in about the next 5 minutes.
Quincy Ballard, second round NBA draft. Max, write that down. We got the big fella on the record with two crazy predictions. Mays South staying within 14 of Derby, and Quincy Ballard, I'm not saying it's crazy.
Right.
I'd love to see it for Quincy.
I mean, stop and think about it. Let's go back to
13 and 10. Let me write that down, too. There we go.
I mean, I don't think there's too many guys in the paint in the AAC that's going to be able to stop.
Well, I'm not sure I disagree with you.
And, I mean, when you look at Harlan Beverly, kudos to him because he gave up his scholarship.
He did.
Kudos to him. But his game reminds me so much of Malcolm Armstead. He's just a little bit bigger because of how he attacks the basket, which is going to create openness for the guy in the paint.
I'm looking forward to it. The Shockers are interesting to me. But that doesn't mean I'm saying they're going to be world beaters either. I got to see how this team develops.
Write this down. 22 wins.
22
write
wins.
Write that down.
NCAA tournament?
NCAA tournament.
What's in that juice you're drinking?
I told you. Cucumber.
Cucumber
celery,
and what?
Green apples and a trace of ginger. You got to be careful.
Where'd you get that? In Colorado? Come on, man.
I ain't got to go to Colorado.
We're going to take a break. Come back and talk with Joanna Chadwick.
Can't wait.
From Vibe Magazine, some of the big games of the night. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. You can get the new IHOP House Favorites all week long for $6 Monday through Friday at your favorite IHOP. Back in a minute.
Thank you. What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Joanna Chadwick from Vibe Magazine. She's on the IHOP hotline. We're going to talk about a pretty interesting week 7 of high school football. Joanna, did you miss me last week?
Oh, my gosh. I've been thinking about it all week, just waiting to hear your voice.
The perfect answer. Thank you for being on. We always appreciate it. So you're on with yours truly and the big fella, Anthony. He made a bold prediction earlier in the show, and I want to let's start there. Mays South at Derby, that game tonight, by the way, not next week. We were both mistaken about that. So that's that game is tonight in Derby. Anthony predicts a closer game. He thinks Mays South will rebound from that loss to Mays, and his score prediction, I won't speak for you.
I said 42-28 Derby. This will be their most competitive game that they played this year.
All right, that's his thought. My thought was Derby 57-14. Who's going to be closer?
Well, I think that those are really good scores. Let me see. I think that this is the game that we've been looking for that would be Derby's toughest game. And I would have expected before last Friday night at about 7:45 that it would be two unbeaten teams going up against each other. I did not see that coming. I also did not realize that Braid Maiavella was now the quarterback of Mays High. That kid is a ridiculous athlete. I hope you see him sometime in basketball. He's really good. But I don't know. I mean, could you throw out that Derby hasn't been tested yet? I would say that there's no way Brandon Clark has allowed his team to let any of this go to their head because he knows tougher teams are coming. But at the same time, Coach Pfeiffer's a phenomenal coach. He's going to get them returning. I think it'll be their toughest game, but I don't think that I'm going out on a limb. As for a score, heck, I have no freaking clue. No clue.
There you go.
I suck at predictions.
Well,
so you guys,
Anthony
go
got
yours.
Me fired up with his score, so I had to throw one out.
Do you think
there.
It was just too close?
I just don't see Derby. To me, and I haven't seen them except on some highlights on TV and things like that, but I look at them and I look at the speed and skill on that offense, and then I look at that defense, which might even be better than the offense, and I just think this is as crazy as it sounds, I think this is maybe the best Derby team I've ever seen. Is that nuts?
Oh, wow, boy, I have a really hard time. I don't think I'm going to be able to say this is the best Derby team I've ever seen until after state. I think it's too hard to look back at these teams, and I also don't think that they've seen the competition that they need to. However, you are so right about their defense. They can score very, very quickly. They can score in multiple ways. But that defense is, I mean, you've got Mylon Colvin chasing you. That is one big, fast dude. And you have a secondary that is just shutting teams down. The only thing that I could say is maybe there will be some matchups that May South will be able to exploit. Otherwise, I just don't see Derby giving up 28 points.
So here's what we have tonight, and I'll let Anthony get in here with a question. But we have very really interesting games tonight. Cheney and Collegiate. Both of those teams are very good in Class 3A. That one's at Collegiate. I'm intrigued by that. I know Collegiate lost a big game at Andale and was beaten pretty handily in that game. But that's an interesting game. You've got Goddard Eisenhower at Andover Central. We thought that was going to be a matchup of unbeatens, potentially, before Andover Central was beaten by Goddard. You've got Sedgwick at Mound Ridge, a really good lower-class game. You've got St. James from the Kansas City area coming to Wichita to face Cape and Mount Carmel. I find that game fascinating. And then, I don't know what to think. South and Northwest. This game is potentially for the City League Championship, believe it or not. But I don't – can I – does South have a chance?
I mean, I think we're looking at that Bishop Carroll game, not beating Bishop Carroll since 1992. But I think we're also, you know, putting in what's in our minds is Bishop Carroll of, you know, 2017, Bishop Carroll of, you know, the really good stretch that they were on for so long. And that's clearly not what Bishop Carroll is. So I don't know. I just can't. Northwest, I think, is way too good. I think they need to come back strong, and I think Steve Martin will have them focus on bouncing back as well. They need to make a statement here. But, you know, what does Wichita South have to lose?
It'd be really cool if they could keep the game somewhat competitive. I have my doubts, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. What do you have, Anthony?
All right, Miss Joanna Chadwick, I want to say, first of all, I'm indebted to your family because I've had you, your husband, and your son Blake on my podcast. So I'm indebted to you guys, and y'all are the reason I'm back in tune to the high school game. That being said, though, we're looking at the Greater Wichita Athletic League, and I know we're talking about Northwest, cream of the crop of the city. They've won multiple city titles. Their next goal is to try to get a 6A champion. Of course, Derby stands in that way. But that being said, I'm going to take this a different route. What is it going to take? Because right now, the way I see it, this team is giving up 60 points a game. And I don't believe they've even scored a point. If they have, I think at most maybe 6 points. What is it going to take to improve North High?
No, there's go ahead, Joanna. I think Joanna and I would both concur that there's no way to get North High to a high level of football because of the demographics of North High. It's a great soccer school. It's a highly Hispanic school. There's not a lot of football players there. Outside of a coach going in and just saying, come here and play for us, we're going to get it going. There's just no reason for North High to get significantly better in football. I just don't, Joanna, it's been years and years now. It's just not going to happen, is it?
It has been so long. And I just think, you know, when you're talking about turning around a football program, you see improvement by inches, right? You see good kids come through. Maybe you have a 3-5 season. Okay, we haven't even seen 3-5, right? So, you know, I look at, let's go back to Wichita East. And when Wichita East was consistently bad until the Brown brothers came through, you had two of the best athletes to ever come through the City League, and yet they did not make the playoffs. Because two kids does not make the playoffs. Now, in basketball, you could have, you know, a group of kids, three, come up to a perennially, you know, struggling program, and they could really turn things around. But it takes a whole lot more than that. North High's numbers, I can almost guarantee you, are unbelievably low. I only see North when they go up against Derby, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, because it's unbeaten versus winless. And by that point,
cruel
a lot
and
of
unusual
kids
punishment,
have,
by
it,
the
it
way.
Is. And by that point, too, you have a lot of kids who quit because they don't want to face Derby. It is not what's going to happen. You're going to get run by, you know, 77-0. So I think it's an intriguing question, but it'll take years of analysis for us to ever get to a point where that program can be strong. But props to those kids for coming out every day for practice. Props to those coaches for believing in them. But, I mean, I think, you know, you look at the programs like Let's take Cheney. Cheney hovering, and then Cheney breaks through. Those, to me, it takes a lot of years to do that, too.
Yeah, we we've talked about it for forever. Joanna Chadwick with us from Byte Magazine. Cheney, you mentioned Cheney, their game at Collegiate tonight. Very interesting. Boy, what a coaching job has been done at Cheney, because they are now in that upper echelon. And nobody should take that for granted, because it's a really hard status to attain. When you can become a high school football powerhouse, there's only a few, and they tend to stake their claim and stay there for a long, long time. And Cheney's there now.
They are, and I mean, props to them for that. You know, what it takes is it takes a special group of kids to come through, because we see programs who kind of come up and they're like, whoa, where did that come from? And it's because they have a really good senior class. Now, that senior class grew together, but they're one-hit wonders, right? To build it year in and year out takes building the culture. And it's not just the culture of the guys while they're in high school. It's about starting at the youth programs. And that's what has made it so difficult in the City League, is that once it became where Wichita no longer has programs that feed directly into a specific high school, but instead they can go where the heck they want and they can build these all-star teams, and then they spread out and go wherever, or they go to whatever school has the best football program. You know, that changes things. But when you look at the surrounding towns, where I felt that they've always had an advantage, is, you know, you run what the high school runs. That's the system that you run, and you're running it from first, second grade on. And so to see Cheney do that, I think, is really exciting. The fact that Collegiate doesn't have the numbers of an Andale. I'm not sure what Cheney's numbers are, but Collegiate consistently is a team that we talk about that can challenge for league titles, that can go up against the best in the state. And I give them a lot of props for that, too. A lot of these schools that do really well, like a Collegiate and like a Cheney, as you got in Andale, is that you've got players who are playing multiple sports, too. So the chemistry is ridiculous. We always hated seeing those teams in summer basketball. They'd come together for like three tournaments, but those players knew each other so well, and they just kind of bowl through you. And it's a different sort of a game.
And it's interesting to see how the proliferation, the improvement that's been made in Mays. You got Mays and Mays South. You got Goddard and Goddard Eisenhower. You have Andover and Andover Central, and all those schools are good schools. They're good football programs. They split. At one point, it was just Andover High School. At one point, it was just Mays High School. At one point, it was just Goddard High School. Derby, well, ever going to do it?
I don't see it happening with Derby, and I don't know. You know, this is my ninth year there, and shoot, I've been in the area from 96, and people have been talking about it for on and on and on. I don't see it happening, but I think that you look at the rough times that one of the programs has consistently had. That's why I think, to me, Eisenhower coming up over the last few years as being one of those teams that we talk about is really cool to see. Mays and Mays South, my God, how many times did we see like Mays High be like a one-hit wonder? And now you have two programs that have been really good for quite a while. That's really cool to see.
All right, good stuff. I enjoy talking high school sports. I always will, till the day they put me under, which we hope is many, many years from now. Right, Anthony?
Right, many years from now.
How about you, Joanna? You hope that?
Many, many, many years.
Always appreciate your time. We love talking with you. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, bye, guys.
Joanna Chadwick from Byte Magazine. And I get a text from a guy in the know. During that segment, the only solution is for the school board to fund middle school football at the City League level. And there's a lot of truth to that. It's too haphazard. We've seen the City League really fall back now in football, and there's exceptions.
Right.
Kudos to Steve Martin for what he's been able to do consistently at Northwest.
Right.
But even last week, he saw Northwest get beat pretty handily by Manhattan
team, right?
And so, you know, I'm a City League guy through and through, but in football, it's starting to take a little bit of a back seat
at the public school level. And you know, the crazy thing is I seen some guys on Facebook, they was chatting it up. And, you know, I brought up North High because that's what I was thinking about. Someone said maybe they should reach out to Byron Sanders, which is Barry's brother. But I've seen Byron, not recent, but last time I seen him, I can honestly say it didn't look like coaching was on his mind. It's not to say that it wasn't, but, I mean, he's probably been so far removed.
There's no one person savior for this.
Right. But I do have a concerted effort. But I do have a scenario, but I'm going to say that off the air because I don't want rumors to get started.
Yeah, we don't want rumors.
But I have a scenario that I will share.
You're already out of bounds on some of your predictions, so we'll get that one off the air. Okay.
All right.
We are at the end of the week. The big fella Anthony in to help with those proceedings today. We've had a lively show today.
Very lively.
A lot of banter, a lot of disagreement, some agreement.
You just disagree because you wanted to disagree.
Well, you know how I am. Listen, I hope all your predictions are right. I hope Quincy Ballard does average 13 points and 10 rebounds. I hope he's a second-round NBA draft pick. I hope the Shockers win 22 games and get to the NCAA tournament. I hope Derby Mays South is a more competitive game than I expect it to be. But we'll see on all of these. We'll see how it plays out.
Right. Only thing I regret in that last segment, I meant to ask Joanna Chadwick, what time do I need to be at the game? Because last time I went to the game, they played against Mays. Of course, they boat race Mays. And
Mays boat race Mays South, by the way.
Right. Figure that equation. But I had to walk darn near 2 miles to and fro. I think I got it.
Who'd you see him play?
I seen Derby play against Mays.
Okay, you just said that. Well, that
I got my.
Are you going to the game tonight?
Well, now that I know it's Derby against Mays South, yeah, because I feel
you
like
are
I,
going.
Yeah, I'm going to go to that game because I feel like I have a connection with both communities based on last year's journey to basketball games, and I mean the people of Mays South, the people of Derby. They're just so endearing. They welcome you. They treat you like.
What side are you going to sit on? Half for one half and the other?
I don't know.
Well, you got to pick. I
can't pick. I'm being like Jeff now. I don't know.
Either you better sit on the Derby side. I would suggest you sit on the Mays South side in the first half. And when the score is about 31-7 at halftime, you can go with the Derby side.
See what you're doing? Hey, I also want to say this. I want to say thank you to Vibe Magazine because they send my magazines in the mail. That's how I can keep abreast of stuff and have some good
content. That's wonderful.
Have some good content.
Yeah.
Good content.
They don't send me one.
Well, see, I never could find them at the barbecue joint, Hog Wild. I don't know if it was because it was after 8 and I was late. I don't know how it goes. But I get them every time that they print a new one. So I definitely want to say thank you to Vibe Magazine. Y'all give me good podcast content.
Absolutely.
Thankful to you. I'm always thankful to you for giving me this opportunity to be on the radio.
Well, we appreciate you being available to come on the radio. As we mentioned, a good slate of high school football games tonight. I'm going to be in my man cave with my wife. She's allowed to come into the man cave. And my dog, she was allowed to go anywhere she wants. And we're going to be watching baseball tonight. And I'll keep track of the games via my phone. What, did you get a text?
So I just got a text from Joanna Chadwick. She said 5 to 5:30 at least. So that means I need
you
to
better be,
I
mean, you
I
better
need to be leaving out of here like right now.
You better be hustling down there.
And you know that Rock Road now, traffic is about as bad as 21st Street. Man, them people act like they can't drive.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. I never go to Derby without a stop at Pizza John's. So
there's around meals and
In fact, next week, I'm going to get somebody to go to lunch with me. Maybe. Nobody wants to go to lunch with me at Pizza John's.
Says who?
Oh, you want to go to lunch?
Yes, who?
Well, you work in the you work at this time.
No, I usually be asleep at this time, but when the opportunity presents itself to be here,
well, we'll see. We'll put it together. But I never go to Derby without a stop at Pizza John's. It's so good, and I'm really hungry for one of their hoagies.
Okay.
You know, their pizza is beyond reproach, but I'm really hungry for one of their hoagies. And I wish it was closer. Today we had I had a speaking engagement out west, and on the way home, I had come partway home, and I said, man, I'm out here. I'm going to stop at Barnard's and get a barbecue beef sandwich. And my wife wanted a turkey delight, and so we stopped at Barnard's. They're on Mays Road and 37th, and we brought that home, and I'm so glad we did that. You know, I don't get to Barnard's very often. When it was on the east side,
I have yet to go,
and I did the radio show from Brittany Center. It was just across the street.
So tell me a reason.
So I stopped there a lot, but I don't get that opportunity now.
So tell me a reason I should go to Barnard's. Because I forget to go.
Great food.
Great food, okay.
Great sandwiches, chili, really good, wonderful soups, fantastic cookies if you're into that stuff.
I'm a diabetic. I try to stay from...
Yeah, I don't blame you. I didn't get a cookie today, but they have great cookies. Their French fries are fantastic. There's just it's a Wichita staple. And I love the Hurdle family who owns that place and has for a long time. And
related to Bruce?
No. Oh, they okay. Spell it differently.
Oh, okay.
And Troy, if you're listening, Troy Hurdle, if you're listening, which you probably aren't, but if you are, thanks for all you do, and that's a great place you have. There you go, a little plug-in for Barnard's.
I'm going to have to go.
I'm allowed to do that.
I'm going to have to go.
Yeah. So we got a busy weekend of college football, NFL, four really, really, really good NFL games. We picked them all yesterday. The Chiefs in San Francisco, Super Bowl rematch coming up late Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Most of us picked the Chiefs, except for Max, who wouldn't pick the Chiefs if they were the last team in the world. And because of that, Max will never do well in our pick.
I wonder what Max picked the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a fan.
Dallas Cowboys are terrible.
If you're going to say Dallas Cowboys are terrible, you have to say it right. You have to get your Charles Barkley on. The Cowboys, they're just terrible. I don't see what it is about Jones and why come he didn't do anything during the offseason. They're just terrible.
Weren't you embarrassed to watch them against Detroit the other day?
That was just
ridiculous.
That was a poop fest.
It was. All right. Thank you, Anthony. Always good to see you.
Always good to be here. Appreciate it.
We'll be back on Monday after the weekend. We hope it's a good one for you. See you then.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Ryder remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.